This is Cheryl Kay, host of the weekday morning show, filling in for Philip G. We've got a guest this morning. Who are you?
Who am I?
We have with us Katie Kokinos.
Kokinos.
Mm-hmm. Katie Kokinos. She'll be discussing her latest film with us called I Dream Too Much. Also her passion for independent film and the local area. So welcome.
Thank you.
Hello.
It's so fun to be here.
Yeah. Well, you know, as I was telling Katie, you know, one of the things you shouldn't do before you go on air is drink a lot of coffee. But, you know, and I've cut down. Let me tell you, I've cut down. But, oh, gosh, it felt so good this morning. But I think I sound pretty good.
Sound great.
And you've had your coffee, so we're ready to go.
Yes.
So let's talk about this film. It's a comedy drama. Yeah, that's how
Coming of age.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now you wrote the script.
Right.
You're directing it.
We just finished shooting it.
Okay.
We filmed in Stone Ridge and around Saugerties and a little bit up around here, like at Montgomery Place. Through the month of snowy February.
Uh-huh.
And for all of you out there who hated the snow, you can thank me because I have been praying for snow because we needed it for the film. It's all my fault.
See, I wanted the snow for snowshoeing. I'm selfish.
Oh, I love snow. Having been born and lived in Texas for
not a lot of snow.
34 years. No, snow is still like most glorious thing. So anyway, yeah, so we shot in February and all throughout March we've been editing.
And this is your directorial debut.
Actually, it's not.
It's
I did
not.
A film. I wrote and directed and starred in a film called Portrait of a Girl as a Young Cat. We premiered at South by Southwest in 2000 and did the festival circuit.
Okay.
Then started a family. I have two children, Lula and Nico. And so it's been being a mom, I'm a stay-at-home filmmaker, as my sister calls it. I'm you know, busy with kids and been writing scripts for the past 13 years.
Yeah.
So this was the first one that took, that, you know, we could actually do.
And the inspiration for this film, you talk about coming of age. Is this somehow tied to your coming of age?
Well, I'm really interested in characters who are going through a transition. And this, my protagonist, Dora, has just graduated from college. And I totally dove into my memories, my emotional memories of that time, of thinking you were on a certain trajectory, but things kind of, you know, changing. She graduates with a pre-law degree, thinking she's going to law school. And things happen where she goes on a different type of journey that, yeah. that she wasn't planning on. So yeah, it's I found when I was writing the script, remembering how really it was one of the most stressful times, really, was graduating from college and just anticipating what the world was going to be like and how to find your way in the world. So I really wanted to capture that with this film.
How did Saugerties figure into the story and the surrounding area?
Yeah, well, I live in Saugerties. We moved up from Brooklyn in 2004, but we've had our house since 2001. It was funny, my husband, after writing all these other scripts, I have one script that's set in New Orleans. He said, can you just write something that's set literally in our own backyard and that we can film in the winter? Because I don't work as much in the winter. My husband works in TV. And I was like, okay. So this was about a year and a half ago. So that's, I started writing it. So the premise is, Dora, who's from New Jersey, just graduated, wants to go to Brazil with her best friend, but instead comes to Saugerties to take care of her great aunt Vera, who's broken her foot.
Yeah. Now, it's funny, as I was reading up about this, the actor who is playing Dora mm-hmm. is Eden Brolin,
mm-hmm.
and she's from the West Coast.
Right.
Now, what was it like for her to come and film during the winter?
Well, it was, Yeah, poor Eden. She lives in New York City now. Eden, along with Diane Ladd, who is from the South. She plays Aunt Vera, but lives out in the West Coast. And then Danielle Brooks, who's also in the film, who's on Orange is the New Black, is from South Carolina. They all had a very challenging time with the cold. I tell you, it was not easy, particularly the day we shot out at the Saugerties Lighthouse. It was just really, really cold. I love it, but it was an added stress as the director. I wanted my actors to be comfortable, and putting them in that situation, you know, I was always very conscious of, you know, getting them to a place that was warm while we set up the next shot, you know. So anyway, and there were a lot of scenes where Eden should have been wearing a coat and she wasn't. So I'm forever grateful to my actors. They were amazing. Yeah. They really were.
Now, not to give anything away, and I don't know this, but does the lighthouse play any significant role in the film or meaning for you?
Yes. Oh, yeah, absolutely. The first time we visited Saugerties before we even considered moving up here, we went straight to the lighthouse. And it's just, we loved it. So beautiful. And then we end up buying a house less than a mile from the lighthouse. So the lighthouse always figured in. And in fact, I wrote another script with a good friend of mine, Dana Weidman, who teaches screenwriting at Dutchess Community College. And that script totally is all set at the lighthouse. So yeah, it's so beautiful, very photogenic. It was hard not to have a scene at the lighthouse.
All right, folks, it's 24 minutes past 9 o'clock. You're in tune to WGXC 90.7 FM, ACRA. Hands on Radio. I'm Cheryl Kay here on the morning show with Katie Kokonos.
Yes.
What we're going to do now is we're going to take a music break. Now, I told Katie to bring in some music. Katie, what you got?
Well, since my main character, Dora, really wants to go to Brazil and leave the winter, I did bring Jobim.
Ooh.
This was a CD that would kind of get me in the mood to write. So if you want to play that.
All right, let's start with this.
Yeah.
So I'm going to pop in the CD.
Okay.
You're going to tell me which cut to play and why you like it.
Gosh, it's all in Portuguese. I don't know which
one. Just say the number. Say the number.
Let's see. How about number 3?
I can do that. and we'll figure out the pronunciation after we play it here, okay. Folks, here on WGXC.
Só danço samba, só danço samba. Vai, 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 vai. Só danço samba, só danço samba. Vai. Só danço samba, só danço samba. Vai, 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 vai. Só danço samba, só danço samba. Vai. Já dancei o twist até demais, mas não sei, me cansei do calypso ao tchá-tchá-tchá. Só danço samba, só danço samba. Vai, 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 vai. Só danço samba, só danço samba. Vai. Mm-hmm.
Us too soon.
Oh gosh, that was Nielsen with the tune
"Jump into the Fire."
Indeed, and we sure did this morning.
Yes, and Jobim.
And Jobim with the tune "Sodanko Samba," and I believe that was Stan Getz on saxophone. I betcha. I think so. Lovely.
Oh, two artists that get my brain going, particularly writing this film. Actually, Jump into the Fire can apply to all the screenplays I've written and my future screenplays. It's such a great song. And you sort of do jump into the fire when you begin a creative endeavor because you have no idea what you're about to do, where it's going, where it'll take you. So,
well, let's talk about that because there will be music accompanying the film.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I Dreamed Too Much.
Yeah, and we're starting to think about that now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just music really elevates a film. It really does. I mean, we're editing it. We're looking at transitions between scenes, and we keep thinking, oh, it'll be a nice place for a music cue. Mm. Although I hate wall-to-wall music. Like, I think my husband and I are the only people in upstate New York who actually walked out of American Hustle because we got so tired of the music. And we found the story kind of tedious, too. But everybody we talked to, oh, I love that movie. But it was just too much. It was too much music. It's sort of a, Scorsese does it. And he used to actually Jump Into the Fire. But so we're looking at more of a scoring, like, you know.
And this is going to be all original music?
I would say mostly. You know, we'll do some source music. Like there's a scene where Dora's in her car, you know, dancing to Brazilian music, hoping to go to Brazil.
Right.
And, you know, we're looking at different bands who, you know, Brazilian music. And we also have the band Three, a local band, is in our film. Shout out to Three. We use two of their songs, which I'm really excited about. So, yeah, we're going to be talking to musicians about doing original soundtrack stuff.
My guest, folks, this morning is Saugerties resident Katie Kokonos. We're discussing her film, I Dream Too Much. They've just finished editing? No, finished...
We finished shooting on March 1st.
Okay.
And we've been editing all through, and we have a first cut.
Okay.
So
the expected release of this?
I would say fall.
Fall?
Probably September, October, we'll have a print ready to show.
And then what happens? Let's talk about this process. Okay, we're done. We're done. Now, what do you do? Put it in a box and go door to door?
Well, right now we're in post, so we have a long road ahead of us with, like I said, music and doing all the post work with sound mix. And then I have producers who have ideas what they want to do with the film. You know, festivals is always the best place to showcase the film, so we'll submit to certain festivals and try to get it out there. There are, I guess, I don't know if they're still called sales reps. I guess they are. When I was way back when, I've been working in film since I graduated college in the mid 80s. So there was always a sales rep who would take your film around to all the distributors. And I assume they're still out there.
Now, before we get too far, I wanted to ask you, is there a website where people can learn more about you, the film, and your past work?
Well, we're on Facebook.
Okay.
You can like us on Facebook, I Dream Too Much. There, we're setting up a website. I don't think it's up yet. So,
how about just give us your address and we'll just come over for dinner?
I would love that. We can watch movies. I'd love to show movies. I used to run the Austin Film Society from 90 to 95. And I tell you, there's nothing more fun for me is showing a really great film
to an appreciative audience.
Yes.
Yeah.
So yeah, like us on Facebook, and then that can eventually take you to a website.
Yeah. Now, it seems like, you know, you have enjoyed the process of having this come to its fruition. Can you talk about some of the obstacles in coming to this point, you know, funding, getting a cast, a crew, finding the right location, just some of them?
Right. There's constant obstacles. Came up with the idea spring of like 2012, and I just spent a lot of time writing. You know, it's just going into your office, my office, and spending a lot of time alone writing. So that was, for me, that's always sort of my first biggest obstacle, is just making it important. Like, this is important. This is where I need to put my energy now. I need to just shut myself up and write. And then keep writing and keep writing, 30 drafts later. Then is then sending it to, there's a producer, Jay Thames, who is my producer along with Ed McWilliams. And Jay sent it, read it and said, yes, let's do it. We can do this film. We're going to be, we're shooting in our own backyard. It's not going to be a big budget film, which it wasn't. This is a doable film. So that was great to hear that, to get that support. So getting the ball rolling there. Then my executive producer is Richard Linklater, who did Dazed and Confused, School of Rock. He did all the Before, Sunrise, Sunset movies. Anyway, I worked with him when I lived in Austin and ran the Film Society. And having Rick on board helped with a lot of the obstacles. He got us the casting director, Judy Henderson, down in the city. And having a script that actors really responded to, they were thanking me for not having zombies, and there were no murders.
No zombies in this
movie? There's no zombies in the movie.
Wait a minute.
Not that I have anything against zombies.
Oh, okay.
But it's a very sweet, charming film. And I think for a lot of actors, it was like, wow. And it's a film about ideas. Yeah. So that was also a bonus in that. So I think, getting the actors together, it all has to come at the same time. It really becomes a catch-22 because you're trying to raise money. And the first thing they want to know is, who's in your film? And you're like, but you can't get the actors until you get a little money. So it's like this back and forth back and forth. Yeah. Like I said, it is a very low budget film by Hollywood standards.
But look how many low budget films have gone on to make history as well as millions.
Right.
Could you talk about some of the films that you've actually worked on?
Well, one of the films that I worked on is called Slacker, which came out in 1990. I met Rick in 1989. He was trying to get completion money for Slacker. That film was shot on 16mm, and for the first release print, it cost $40,000. But it didn't get immediate success. We showed it at Seattle Film Festival, and that was our first festival where we saw that it could really take off, that there was an audience for it. And then at the time, John Pearson sent it to him. He was producer's rep, and he sent it, and Orion Classics was interested. So it went from there. But I think that was one of the first of low budget films that that got out there, got distributed, and started Rick on his career. So, it's out there. What was that other film, Once, that was made for hardly anything in the recent years that did really well? So, they're always saying, who's in your film? And it's like, for a lower budget film, it's more about story, and it's about what's the new ideas that you're bringing to cinema? What's something we haven't thought about, or we've thought about it, but you're presenting it in a different way? Well, there's been a lot of coming of age films. But
maybe you could do a movie about zombies with feelings. I'm just saying.
I am not inspired by blood at all. I'm not inspired by violence. I'm not inspired. That's just not something I get out of bed in the morning to want to write about. My first film, Portrait of a Girl as a Young Cat, was very inspired by the new wave, the French new wave. So I was inspired by Godard and Truffaut. Mm-hmm. And I Dream Too Much was very inspired by my emotional feelings towards this time in a person's life. So it's got to be something that you really, to sit in a room by yourself for 4 or 5 hours a day and write, it's got to be something that really inspires and turns you on. And I don't ever want to make a film about anything.
Zombies with feelings.
Zombies. Sorry.
No, that's okay. That's all right. I'll wait for the next person to come along and grab onto my idea. Folks, you're in tune to WGXC 90.7 FM, ACRA, Hands on Radio. I'm Cheryl Kay, and you are?
Katie Kokonos.
Indeed. It is 9:44. We've got about 15 more minutes before 10 o'clock. Let's do some more music, shall we?
Okay.
Your pick?
Let's see.
What you got?
I love musicals. Musicals make me happy, and to me, it's pure cinema. I couldn't find Gigi, the soundtrack to Gigi, which is my favorite musical. So I brought in Bye Bye Birdie.
Awesome.
So I love, let's do track 5.
And the name is?
Honestly Sincere.
You gotta be sincere. You gotta be sincere. You gotta feel it here, 'cause if you feel it here, well then you're gonna be honestly sincere. If what you feel is true, you really feel it, you make them feel it too. Write this down now, you gotta be sincere. Honestly sincere, man, you gotta be sincere. If you're really sincere, if you're really sincere, if you feel it in here, then it's gotta be right off, baby. Oh, honey, hurt me, I suffer. Everything I do, why my sincerity shows through. Yeah, I look you in the eye, I don't even have to try. It's automatic, I'm sincere. When I sing about a tree, listen, why I really feel that tree. Yeah, when I sing about a girl, I really feel that girl. I mean, I really feel sincere. If you're really sincere, if you're really sincere, if you feel it in here, then it's gotta be right out, baby. Oh, honey, hug me. I suffer. You're gonna be sincere.
Yeah!
Are you gonna be sincere? Are you gonna be sincere?
Yeah!
Are you gonna be sincere? Are you gonna be sincere?
Yeah!
My, who is this?
This is Renee Fleming.
And this is taken from?
Midsummer Night's Dream. This came out... It's the Michael Hoffman directed it.
Got it.
I'm not quite clear when it came out. It was with Michelle Pfeiffer. It's such a beautiful soundtrack. And I do... Yeah. That's one of my favorite soundtracks to listen to.
Mm. Well, Katie, we are coming to the end of the morning show, and I want to leave the last gulp of air to you. What do you want to tell us, dear?
What do I want to tell you? I don't know. I was supposed to go to law school in college, and I discovered film during college. I stumbled into a screening of Fanny and Alexander, the Ingmar Bergman film, one weekend, and I didn't know cinema could do that. And then the next weekend, I stumbled into Mad Max, and again, I didn't know cinema could do that. And I think it just really captured all my senses. And I don't know, that's been 25 years. I've never shifted in my love affair with films. It still captures all my senses. And I do want to kind of back up what I said earlier about violence, because Mean Streets is one of my favorite films. I think when it's done well,
yes.
That sounds kind of crazy. Goodfellas is another one of my favorite films. It's sort of more of the craft of it, and not just doing it without any thought behind it.
Right.
And I guess that's one of my sort of critiques of some of the films I see now. It seems like everything that's produced, what I've seen recently, seems to be in the fifth draft of the screenplay instead of the 30th. You know, that it really needs a little bit more, you know.
Cooking.
Yeah, exactly. More alone time or with your story. Because, yeah, to William Goldman, one of my favorite screenwriters who did Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid and Princess Bride, talked in an introduction to one of his books about being at a table read. You have the screenplay, the best it could be. You just feel like this is it after so many drafts. And you've got your cast assembled and they're reading your screenplay, and you just feel like that's, you know, where you want to be. You just, you know, everyone's cast. And it's true, you know, cast, as John Huston said, directing is about 99% casting. When you have cast the right person, you've done a lot of the directing, which I found that in I Dream Too Much. It's like, wow, you know, these, all my actors who we assembled really embodied the characters, and they took it to another place. You always want them to take it to another place.
Wow.
You don't want it to stay, you know, in your imagination. You want them to bring to it. And it sort of starts this dialectic. It's like, that was, you know, where it was heaven for me, is when one of the actors would come and say, would my character really say that right now in this moment? It's like, yeah, you're right. No, it wouldn't. Let's work on it. And to me, that was the best part of directing, was taking my writing to a different level. Because it is hard as a writer and director, because your sort of perspective is a constant thing. You know, it's like, because you're so in it. You constantly need, or at least I felt, I really wanted feedback from everyone on the set, from costume designer, production designer, props, you know, script continuity. I always wanted to hear what they were thinking.
Yeah.
And then it would challenge me. I would be like immediately, oh, right. I never thought of it that way. And, you know, and hopefully it would just build and take it somewhere better. So anyway, and I want to shout out to my husband, Alex Rappaport, who...
Hey, dude.
Who's read the script every single draft, who it was the director of photography on the film, and who I've been sitting next to in the editing room structuring the film. It shouldn't be called an editor. They should be called film structurers because there's just, it's funny, through the whole process, the writing, raising money, directing, I'm now sitting in the editing room feel like a filmmaker.
Katie, thank you so much for coming
so
in this
much
morning.
Fun. This
Katie
great.
Kokonos, independent film writer, maker, director,
right.
Mom, spouse. Her film, which we hope to see sometime in the fall, I Dreamed Too Much.
Yeah. And like us on Facebook, and we'll keep you posted.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming
Thank
in.
Thank you, Cheryl.